Welcome to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kepler, and this podcast is all about ditching black and white thinking and exploring the gray areas of health, happiness, and everything in between. If you're ready to feel empowered and inspired, then let's get to it. Welcome to episode 4 of the All or Something Living podcast. In this episode, we're going to explore your inner critic. We're going to get to know her. We're going to understand why it is that she works the way that she does, and then talk about some ways that you can begin to quiet your inner critic and even possibly befriend her. Just a few years ago, for the first time, I had actually heard the concept of paying attention to how you speak to yourself, and I had never really noticed before how terribly I was speaking to myself. So when I started to pay attention to what my general thoughts were, they were things like, you look so disgusting today, you're really ugly and you're boring, and you aren't worthy of this friendship or worthy of this relationship, or you can never do anything right, never good enough, etc., etc. And like that was just playing on a loop in my head. And no wonder I struggled with confidence issues and wasn't able to really move forward because I was holding myself back by speaking to myself like an enemy. So if you haven't explored your inner critic before or actually stopped to pay attention to the things that you're telling yourself, I want you to think right now and imagine the way that you are speaking to yourself on a daily basis. If you're not able to imagine it right now, then maybe after this or within the next few days, you can actually take some time to pay attention to how you're speaking to yourself. What kind of thoughts are you thinking? Are they positive? Are they negative? Are they about yourself? Are they about others? Are you judging yourself? Are you judging others? Now, here's the hard part of this. If you can, I want you to imagine as if you're an observer watching somebody else judge another person. I want you to step back as if you're an observer, and if you can also take a neutral stance. Imagine that this person that you're observing is somebody that you really love and that you respect, and you understand that they are a loving person and they are not a hateful person. And so you just want to become curious as to why they're being so judgmental or why they're being so hurtful. And we'll get into that a little bit more as this episode goes on. But first, let's take some time to explore the inner critic. So people have different names for their inner critic. I know some people refer to it as the inner gremlin, the inner mean girl, etc. Sometimes I know that it helps to name whatever it is. I have named mine Helga, so that is what I refer to my inner critic as. If at the moment you're kind of unsure of who your inner critic is or what she might sound like, here are some examples. So your inner critic is going to sound harsh or rude. She'll say things like, you look so ugly, you'll never follow through with this, you're not good enough, etc. This will also be your all or nothing voice. So that means that you're either good or bad, you're either worthy or you're unworthy, there is no in between. This is also the voice that holds you back from pursuing things, and it tells you that you aren't ready for that, or you're gonna fail this, so you might as well not even try. She is a voice that likes to criticize your appearance. She likes to tell you that, like I said, that you're ugly, that you don't know how to dress, that you, whatever negative things that you're telling yourself. She will also feel like kind of an automatic voice that you feel like you can't control, and she likes to replay on a loop and often intrudes your thoughts. So where does your inner critic come from and what is her goal with you? So often your inner critic voice will be a compilation of negative people and criticisms that you've picked up throughout life. I know that's how it's been for me. I feel like any negative thing anyone's ever said to me, I just hoard that thought and I will continue to replay it in my mind over and over again when the scenario comes up. But it can be helpful to understand that this voice is actually meant to keep you safe and free from future criticism, especially if you are afraid to be criticized for the same things that you've already been criticized for in the past. This voice wants to keep you free from experiencing pain. And hopefully that can help you be a little bit more compassionate with this voice of yours and think of it as a part of yourself, but it's not a part of yourself that has to run the ship. So now you might be wondering if your inner critic is a voice that keeps you realistic. And if you're wondering, okay, what's the difference between my inner critic and actual realistic thinking that I should listen to? And that's a really good question. So I'm going to read a table from the book Playing Big by Tara Moore. I highly recommend this book. It's a book called Playing Big, Practical Wisdom for Women Who Want to Speak Up, Create, and Lead. And I will add the link to the book in the show notes. But in this table, she outlines the difference between your inner critic and what could actually be realistic thinking. So I'm just going to go through each example. So your inner critic will make a definite pronouncement about a situation. On the other hand, realistic thinking will ask curious questions about the situation. So for example, definite pronouncements would be something like, you're not good enough, you will fail, this isn't right for you. And then your realistic thinker will say, okay, well, how can I make this happen? Or is this a good time to make this happen? Or do I need to educate myself a little bit more before I move forward? Then the inner critic will have no interest in actual evidence, and then your realistic thinker is interested in gathering evidence to inform conclusion. So for example, your inner critic won't actually want to know like what classes you've taken to be qualified, if you actually have the qualifications, etc., but your realistic thinking voice will ask curiously, again, that curiosity comes back of, well, what does make me qualified right now, and what do I still need in order to be more qualified? Then the inner critic thinks and speaks in black and white terms, like I already talked about, good, bad, all or nothing. And then realistic thinking is able to deal with complexity and gray areas. And that is what this podcast is all about, because I know so many of us struggle with that black or white, all or nothing thinking, and it can often hold us back. And so your realistic thinker is the one that can guide you through the complexity, like I said, of the gray areas. Then your inner critic will ask binary yes or no questions. Is it possible? Yes or no. Am I qualified? Yes or no. Just yes or no. But your realistic thinker will ask helpful, open-ended questions like, how might it be possible? What part of this looks possible? Your inner critic is repetitive. So like I said earlier, she'll just play on a loop over and over and over again. And sometimes it'll feel like you can't stop her. But then your realistic thinker is forward moving. She'll ask things like, okay, what's the next step? Then you take that next step. Okay, what's the next step now? Your inner critic will focus on problem and areas of lack, so all the things that you're not good at, all the reasons you're not qualified, and then your realistic thinker will seek solutions. Your inner critic will speak in an anxious tone. She wants to get your attention. She wants you to listen to her. She's desperate to help you stop doing what you're about to do so that she can keep you safe. And then your realistic thinker will speak in a very calm tone, or at least just a calmer tone, a more reasonable tone. Then your inner critic speaks from a fundamental stance of self-critique. Again, just going into the negative, coming from a place of negativity, when your realistic thinker can speak from a fundamental stance of self-support. She is there almost like your inner cheerleader to help you do a good job, help you figure out what you need to do to make something possible for yourself. The inner critic is also a very primal element of yourself. So it's the fight or flight instinct. Are you safe? Can you stay? Or should you flee? So right now you might be thinking, okay, well, what do I do if my inner critic is what motivates me or keeps me on track? An example of this is when I used to pursue diets and weight loss all the time. The way I was raised was very strictly and also very, I guess you could say, masculine, where it almost is like coming from a place of consequence. So if you mess up, then you're going to be in big trouble. So you might want to try to not mess up. And I also know I was in the military, so I went through basic military training, and it came from the same kind of place. You're motivated out of fear to get in trouble or to not keep up, or sometimes you feel like you're in fear of your life. So when I would put myself through diets or weight loss plans and stuff like that, my motivator would be me not wanting to be what I thought at the time was a bad thing, which was being fat or chubby. Again, I want to outline that that's actually not a bad thing, but it is what I thought at the time. And that's something that we'll explore in another episode. But it came from a place of lack, of me feeling like I didn't want to be these things, so I had no choice but to do better. So what kept me motivated is telling myself, well, you look so disgusting, you look so fat, your clothes don't fit you, blah, blah, blah. And that's what kept me wanting to lose weight. But a thing to keep in mind is that this wasn't actually a sustainable level of support, because I would feel bad in some moments, and then some moments I'd just be like, I just don't care anymore. Like, I just want to live my life, and I am just going to ignore this voice. And I thought it was supportive and I thought it was helpful until I learned about the difference between my inner critic and my inner cheerleader. Now, I'm not sure what other people refer to the inner cheerleader as. I honestly am trying to think, even right now, if I've read in books about it. I'm sure that I have. But if you haven't experienced what it feels like to have a constant inner cheerleader, then that's probably why you're thinking that your negative voice is what keeps you motivated. Because if you don't know the difference between how your inner cheerleader speaks to you and how your inner critic speaks to you, then you might not understand that it is coming from a completely different place and so much more positive and loving and accepting and non-judgmental space. So what do I mean by coming from a more positive and a more negative place? When you're coming from a more positive place, you are in a forward-thinking mindset. You're thinking about the benefits. You're thinking about all the awesome things that will come from what it is that you're wanting. You're thinking of all the great ways to get there, and you're forgiving yourself and giving yourself grace along the way. But if you're coming from a negative place, then you are coming from a place of not being good enough, of having to push yourself rather than be pulled. And coming from a negative place gets exhausting really fast. It's not like coming from a positive place where, like I said, you do feel like you're being pulled. So it's a lot easier, but you're constantly having to look at the negative and push yourself from that place. If you're still not convinced about the difference between these two, then I want you to ask yourself this question. So if it hasn't worked for you up to this point, then what's the harm in trying a different approach? Obviously, if you are somebody who has tried and failed a bunch of times, maybe right now you're thinking about all your past failures and you're still beating yourself up for them. Just think about that. Imagine coming from a place of, say, you set a goal and you fail. Let's look at the differences. So your inner critic is going to tell you, man, you failed again. You'll never get this right. I can't believe you. But then your inner cheerleader would say, you know what? It's okay. That's fine. This happens. Let's take a look at what it is that caused you to fail. Let's take a look at what you can learn from this experience, and then let's move forward. So the difference between the two is that the inner critic approach is a means to an end. It means that you have to stop there because you failed and you're a loser. And then the inner cheerleader is coming from a place of, that's okay, you failed this time. What can you learn from this? How can we move forward? And that means that you're always improving, no matter what. No matter how many times you're failing, you're improving every single time. So it is a great thing. Now let's work on the more difficult part of quieting that inner critic and at the same time encouraging that inner cheerleader to speak up a little bit louder for you. I also want to just pause during this recording and take a moment to say that my inner critic is speaking up really loud right now as I record this episode, which is really interesting because she's been pretty quiet all day. But right now what's going through my head is, you're rambling on, you're not making any sense, maybe you should stop and record this another time. People are going to leave you bad reviews based on this episode. And I am so used to hearing my inner critic trying to stop me from doing things that I'm passionate about that I can hear those voices right now, but I'm still moving forward. And then that inner cheerleader is starting to speak up and she's saying things like, you know what? It's okay, because you don't have to be perfect. The more you practice, the better that you'll get. And just get through this. All right, so back to quieting the critic. So in order to quiet the critic, you have to understand its role. So like we talked about before, the critic's role is to keep you safe, to protect you from criticism and failure. Then what you need to do is recognize when that voice is speaking up. Just like I was able to recognize a few moments ago that it was my inner critic telling me that I wasn't good enough to record this podcast, I recognized the signs that we talked about before of how the inner critic sounds in the first place. And then you have to pause, listen to the thought, and realize that it's an incorrect thought. Once you're able to do that, then you can acknowledge it, thank the voice for trying to keep you safe, and then offer it the back seat. So say, all right, inner critic, you don't have to go away completely. Or in my case, Helga. All right, Helga, you don't have to go away completely, but you can hang out in the back seat while I drive, but you cannot drive the car. And I've heard that, I think it's called metaphor. I've heard that a few places. I want to say that Elizabeth Gilbert is one of the places that I heard it from, but I just want you to know that that wasn't an original thought of mine. Nonetheless, it really is a helpful thing to remember. Just like when in the last episode, if you were able to listen, when we talked about meditation, you can notice and observe your thoughts, but you don't have to allow them to control you. And it's almost impossible to ignore them completely, so you just kind of let them float by or push them away. There will be also times where that voice is very persistent and it won't stop. So sometimes you'll just have to cut it off and say something like, I can address this later, but now is not the time, or I'm not getting into this right now. Almost like you would if you were telling somebody, like a boyfriend or something, that you didn't want to have a conversation. You're setting a boundary with that voice. Sometimes it might take an interrupter. So I've heard of things like putting a rubber band around your wrist and slapping it so that it, and how would you do that? Snapping it so that it interrupts your thoughts again, or distracting yourself with something else for a little bit, or doing a meditation to help slow down those thoughts. But just understand that this takes practice and it's not just going to work on the first few tries. You have to be just as persistent as that voice is. And if it takes you a few times, maybe you have to start by getting comfortable with understanding the role. Maybe it's going to take you a little bit to really let it sink in what that voice is there for. And then once you're there, maybe it's going to take you a little bit longer to recognize when you're hearing that voice and to even be aware of it, to even be conscious enough to notice when it comes up, and then to understand that it's wrong and to be able to ignore it from there. Then it might take you some more time to begin to acknowledge it, to understand that it doesn't run the show, and then it takes some practice to actually cut it off if it is being persistent or super obnoxious. So now, how do we strengthen your cheerleader? I know that sometimes mantras and affirmations can get a really bad rap, but I know that they were a huge factor in me beginning to change the way that I was speaking to myself. Mantras and affirmations were one of the biggest tools that I used to use. I don't need them so much anymore because my inner cheerleader is pretty loud on her own. But if you are just starting out with recognizing this voice and learning to speak kindly to yourself, then this will be your friend. I recommend you just Google mantras and affirmations. To be honest with you, I don't really notice a difference in which one is which. I kind of just refer to them as the same thing, but they can be things like you are enough, you are beautiful, you are smart, just things that you're consciously saying to yourself on a daily basis. So it helps to have them written down on a card or to write them on your mirror. Just keep them visible at all times to remind you to say them to yourself. And then another helpful tool is to learn to speak to yourself like you would a small child or someone you love. This was another really impactful exercise for me. So you know when a baby is crying or asking for something, not only do you try to figure out what the baby wants, but you're very kind and you're very loving. Or if you see a small child and she's crying, she's upset about something, you comfort her and you say, "Oh, honey, what is wrong? What can I do for you?" Or someone you love. Like I wouldn't go to my fiance and be like, "Oh, you're such a failure. You're so terrible." I would say things like, "Oh, I'm so sorry that you failed that class or that test, but I'm here for you if you want to do better next time. I'm here to help you along in your next journey." If you're not ready to speak kindly to yourself yet, then something that you can do is try and practice speaking more kindly to others. Especially, I can't think of which order it went in, but I was really mean to my friends. And I'm not sure if it's because I spoke to myself in a negative way or if I started to change the way I spoke to others and that changed the way that I spoke to myself. But either way, if that resonates with you, then start thinking about changing the thoughts and judgments that you're making on others and start to flip that. So when you notice yourself thinking or judging a stranger or somebody, then pause right then and force yourself to come up with a compliment for that person. Think about something positive about them. And again, that's another thought interrupter. Something else that you can do is you can rewire your brain to see the positive over the negative because our brains are naturally wired to see the negative. And again, that comes from that primal instinct to be in the fight or flight mode. You can rewire your brain using a gratitude practice. So every day, every morning, starting out by writing 3 or so things that you're grateful for, or even just getting in the habit of walking around and looking at things that you're grateful for, walking around your home maybe, and being grateful that you have running water, that you have a nice cozy bed. Maybe your house is really cozy. Maybe you have a really loving family. You start to notice those things and it changes the way that you see the world. So as we wrap up this episode, let's go into the takeaway practices. So as I've said a few times now, you want to practice becoming aware of your inner critic and then inviting her to take a back seat while you drive the car. You can also positively reinforce yourself each day with a mantra. So here's an example that you can use. I am worthy of the things I desire and I have the ability to make them a reality. Let me repeat that one more time. I am worthy of the things I desire, and I have the ability to make them a reality. So I'm going to say this to you now so that you hear it too from me. And I truly mean this. You are worthy of the things that you desire, and you do have the ability to make them a reality. So on to the all or something tie-in. So sometimes you'll feel like you've got your inner critic under control. Sometimes you will forget that it's even there and you're just flying high and on top of the world. And then you feel like there will be times where you'll feel like your inner critic has a hold of you and you feel paralyzed. This is something that I go through constantly. I will have days where I'm like, oh man, I can feel my success. It's right around the corner. I know that I'm going to do great things. My work is amazing. I'm really impressed by all the things that I'm doing. And then there will be some days where it's just like my inner critic is literally keeping me from wanting to do anything. I'll look at the work that I do, the blog post that I post, everything. And all of a sudden I'll be like, this is trash. Nobody's going to want to read this. This is not worthy of anything. Like you don't even know what you're talking about. And then the all or something is that like right now I'm going through recording this podcast and I have both my inner critic speaking up and my inner cheerleader. They are simultaneously existing, and I am just continuing to do my thing. And I don't want you to demonize your inner critic. I want you to know that both your inner critic and your cheerleader, they're okay, and they both serve a purpose in your life. What is most important is your awareness and being aware of when that inner critic is being unhelpful will help get you back on track sooner so that you're not paralyzed for a long length of time like you may have been in the past. If you enjoyed this episode and you feel like you learned something from it, maybe you feel like a friend or a loved one could benefit from this message, I would love it if you would share it with them. If you are happy to leave a review, I would love that as well. I want you to know that when it comes to podcasts, I'm not actually making money from doing this. And when you leave a review, that is, and even sharing, when you leave a review or you share, that's one of the best ways that you can pay me for the work that I'm doing. It helps get the podcast more visible to others. It helps this message reach others. And it just overall is the best gift that you can give a content creator. If you want to connect with me more, you can check out laurenkepler.com. You can find me on Instagram at Lauren M. Kepler, and you can find me on Facebook at Lauren Kepler. Also, if you haven't joined my all-female Facebook group full of empowering, inspiring women, where each week we explore a topic together and we challenge each other and hold each other accountable for our growth, then you can find that on Facebook at Habit Builders Society, and I will also leave a link to that in the show notes. But until next week, take care and remember that you are enough and you are doing enough.